From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Listener, here is the news read by Ahmad Faisal. First, the headlines. President wants Indonesia is really ready to hold FIFA Under-20 World Cup. New Chinese virus will have infected hundreds. Now the news in detail. FIFA Under-20 World Cup festivity is getting closer. The Indonesian government has continuously made preparations so it can organize the event optimally. President Joko Widodo at the limited cabinet meeting on Friday afternoon at the presidential office in Jakarta explained that he wants the stadium's readiness to be fully ensured. He wants the stadium to be prepared to host world-class match. The government has prepared 10 stadiums for the 2021 Under-20 World Cup.
6 stadion utama dan 4 stadion cadangan.
6 main stadiums and 4 reserve stadiums. I ask that those can really be checked directly in the field and those must be truly representative for world-class matches. Started from the environment, field, seats, dressing rooms, toilets, until the press media room, which is truly representative, and if there is a shortage and those are needed to be renovated and improved so that those are really prepared to be used in 2021. I also want to see in detail the connection between the stadium and the transportation to the accommodation of FIFA Under-20 World Cup participants. For example, don't let the match be late because of connectivity problems. Therefore, the accommodation facilities and infrastructure must also have world-class services. Moreover, President Joko Widodo also warns that FIFA Under-20 World Cup in 2021 can become a promotional event for Indonesia. He also stated that Indonesia must be able to show the world that it is a developing country that is able to hold international events. President Joko Widodo at the presidential office in Jakarta on Friday afternoon led a limited cabinet meeting which discussed the 20th National Sport Weeks or PON in Papua 2020. In the PON 20, there will be 37 branches of competed sport with 678 matches. The 20th National Sport Week in Papua will be held on 20th October to 2nd November 2020 and will be centered in 4 regions, namely the city of Jayapura, Jayapura Regency, Mimika Regency, and Merauke Regency. The national sport events will be participated by approximately 9,411 athletes and officials who will come to Papua. The spirit of the implementation of National Sport Week in Papua is not only a mere sport competition, but also the most important arena where we together strengthen the brotherhood, the relation of unity and solidarity among regions. The event is also to show the world that there are many great talents in the field of sport from province of Papua. At the limited cabinet meeting that was also attended by heads of regional government of Papua, President Joko Widodo also requested that the National Sport Week's readiness can be seen from its aspect of supporting infrastructure readiness. President Jokowi also warns that infrastructure development that has been done for the national sport event can also be utilized for other activities after the festivity is completed. President Joko Widodo has revealed that Vice Admiral Aan Kurnia will be the next chief of the Indonesian Maritime Security Agency, or Bakamla. As quoted by Antara News Agency, President Jokowi, in response to the press questions about the new Bakamla chief at the Merdeka Place on Friday, said that Kurnia previously served as Commander General of the Indonesian Defense Forces Academy. He is an alumnus of the Navy Academy of 31 class in 1987. Kurnia will succeed the current chief, A. Taufikur Rahman. On Thursday, January 16, Jokowi led a final assessment team meeting to discuss the appointments of chief of several strategic positions, including Bakamla. Since September 2018, Bakamla has been led by Taufikur Rahman, who is turning 60 this year and will enter his retirement period. President Joko Widodo has issued directives to local governments and related ministries to conduct integrated water management from upstream to downstream to prevent flooding. As quoted by Antara News Agency, President during a discussion with the media at the Merdeka Palace on Friday said that this treatment from upstream to downstream must be one line. The government cannot work individually. Three areas that must be addressed are the upstream, middle, and downstream areas. For the upstream region, the president stressed the need to build dams and rehabilitate forests. The central government is building two dams, Sukamahi Dam and Ciawi Dam, in Bogor district, and their construction is expected to be completed this year. State-owned electricity company PT Perusahaan Listrik Negara, or PLN, has outlined a target to step up the capacity of renewable energy-based power plant by 1.5 gigawatts in 2020. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Deputy President Director of PLN, Darmawan Prasojo, on Friday stated that renewable energy or power plant capacity in 2020 will be increased by 1.5 gigawatt to ensure its reliability. Currently, PLN's renewable energy-based power plant has a total capacity of 7,761 gigawatts, with the largest capacity of some 4.7 gigawatt sourced from the hydroelectric power Abu Dhabi-based renewable energy company Masdar to build a $129 million floating solar power plant at Cirata Dam, West Java. The number of people already infected by the mystery virus emerging in China is far greater than official figures suggest. As quoted by BBC.com on Saturday, there have been 41 laboratory confirmed cases of the new virus, but UK experts estimate the figure is closer to 1,700. Two people are known to have died from the virus, which appeared in Wuhan City in December. Disease outbreak scientist Professor Neil Ferguson explained that he is substantially more concerned than he was a week ago. The work was conducted by the MRC Center for Global Infectious Disease Analysis at Imperial College London, which advises bodies including the UK government and the World Health Organization. Singapore and Hong Kong have been screening air passengers from Wuhan, and US authorities announced similar measures starting on Friday at three major airports in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and New York. In the wake of ferocious bush fires that tore through Kangaroo Island, local farmer Rick Morris has endured the grueling task of burying 400 sheep killed when most of his sprawling property went up in flames, as quoted by AFP.com on Saturday. Australia is reeling from bushfires that since September have claimed 28 lives, including two on Kangaroo Island, and razed 10 million hectares or 25 million acres of land, an area larger than South Korea or Portugal. Vast swatches of the burned land were used for grazing cattle and sheep, and officials believe the livestock toll exceeds 100,000 across Australia, including at least 43,000 on Kangaroo Island alone, where farmers like Maurice endure three blazes in just 10 days. Well, listener, that's the news read by Ahmad Faisal.
The first news comes from Badung Regency in Bali. Badung Regency Government, through the Local Tourism and Tourism Promotion Agency, conducted a sales mission through a series of activities in India from January the 6th to 10th. The head of the Badung Tourism Office, Imade Badra, in the Kuta area on Tuesday said India was chosen as the target of this year's sales mission because this country is an emerging market that has enormous potential to be able to contribute to the achievement of tourist visits in 2020. The series of tourism promotion activities include sales mission to the cities of Mumbai and Ahmedabad, followed by attending the South Asia Travel and Tourism Exchange India 2020 conference, which is the most prestigious tourism exhibition in India. The event was attended by around 1,050 participants as well as travel experts from 50 countries and 104 cities in India. The next news comes from West Sumatra. Langkisau Festival, which is an annual tourism activity in South Coastal District, finally entered into the calendar of tourism activities in the province of West Sumatra. Head of the South Coast Tourism Youth and Sport Agency, Hadi Susilo in Painan, said on Wednesday, the decision was obtained after Wednesday he held a coordination meeting with officials of the West Sumatra Tourism Office. He said the South Coastal District was designated as the location of this year's Creative Economy Festival. At least a number of interesting activities will be held, ranging from children's Nagari Games, the selection of South Coast Tourism Ambassador, the national level beach volleyball circuit, and paragliding championship. Next, Sumara Budaya Pesisir Selatan, Painan Expo, and finally the event was organized by a team from Jurai 4 District, an evening competition involving the local community. The latest news comes from Palangkaraya, Central Kalimantan. Borneo Orangutan Survival Foundation Nyaru Menteng released three orangutans in Bukit Baka Bukit Raya National Park in mid-January 2020. The foundation CEO, Yamartin Sihite, told Antara in Palangkaraya last Wednesday that the three orangutans consisted of one male and two female, with ages ranging from 13 to 18 years. The Hiran River Basin within the Bukit Baka Bukit Raya National Park began to be utilized as an orangutan release area since August 2019. This area has accommodated 33 rehabilitated orangutans released in four stages of release. That's all news from Indonesia over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
We begin today in history with the event of January 18, 2000, that meteor fell at Lake Tagish, Canada. Rocks from outer space, or commonly called as a meteor, fell on Lake Tagish, Canada on January 18, 2000. When the meteor fell down, residents around the area saw the light like a falling star on Lake Tagish. After that, there was an explosion. The local residents came close to the location. A number of both local and international scientists conducted research on falling space objects. After studying the meteorite at Lake Tagish, the team of scientists from Japan's Tohoku University concluded that most of the water content on Earth originated from a collision with an asteroid 4.6 billion years ago. We turn to the event of January 18, 2002, that the Sierra Leone Civil War was declared over. The Sierra Leone Civil War was a war that lasted for 11 years from 1991 to 2002, and it killed 50,000 people. The war began on March 23, 1991, when the Revolutionary United Front, with the support of Special Forces, National Patriotic Front of Liberia under the leadership of Charles Taylor, it launched an attack on the government. The aim was to impose Joseph Momo's government. The war was officially declared over by President Ahmad Tejan Kabah on January 18, 2002. We end today in story with the event of January 18, 1964, that the Beatles appeared on the Billboard magazine charts for the first time. The Beatles appeared on the Billboard magazine charts for the first time on January 18, 1964. This music group was named as the most successful rock musician in the 60s. The Beatles is one of the earliest and most influential rock group in the modern era. The members are John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr. The Beatles is considered as the manifestation of progressive ideas which influenced the socio-cultural revolution in the 1960s. And listener, that was Today in History.
Jalani.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Ministry of Finance inaugurates joint export office to simplify services. The Ministry of Finance inaugurated the joint export office located in the Office of the National Single Window to facilitate coordination and services related to access to information for exporters, including micro, small, and medium enterprises, or MSMEs. The Secretary General of the Ministry of Finance, Hadianto, at the office in Jakarta on Wednesday said the opening of this office was a step to create collaboration among stakeholders so that solving various matters related to export could be easier. Hadianto said that there were three things that he wanted to encourage through the joint export office, namely providing access to information, relief of export financing mechanism, and market access information. Hadianto gave an example. There were a number of small and medium enterprises who only focused on the Korean market, but apparently they didn't know that Europe was also one of the marketplaces with great potential to receive their product. Along with the inauguration of the Joint Export Office, the National Single Window mobile application was also launched to facilitate access to document tracking and export-related information through mobile devices. Head of the National Single Window Institution, Agus Rofiuddin, said the documents that can be traced by this application are the status of import notification, business number, and certificate of origin, as well as restriction on the page Indonesian National Trade Repository. According to Agus Rofiuddin, this mobile feature will make it easier for business people to access the information they need anywhere and anytime. Meanwhile, Secretary General of the Ministry of Finance, Hadianto, suggested that improvements and updates be made to the application so that it is in accordance with the needs of the public regarding exports and imports, which are changing every time. He stressed that collaboration must continue to be carried out between the National Single Windows Office, the Directorate General of Customs and Excise, the Indonesian Export Financing Agency, and other institutions so that this application can continue to develop. Well, that was My Indonesia Today over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Kau datang mengisi hidupku. Bayangan dirimu selalu mengisi hatiku. Bila kah
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Arari was office for South Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Indonesian wonder. Today we will invite you to Banyumas, Central Java, to visit Sarabadak Cave. Stay tuned. Listener, natural tourism destinations in Banyumas are very diverse, ranging from mountains, forests, waterfalls, and caves. One of the famous natural tourist attractions in Banyumas is Goa Sarabadak or Sarabadak Cave. Listener, Sarabadak Cave is located in Kemutu Kulor Village, Batu Raden Sub District, Banyumas Regency, Central Java, or about 14 kilometers from Purwokerto City Center, and it is still in the Pitu Batu Raden Complex. Sarabadak Cave has a unique shape with a bright yellow color. The color is caused by sulfur deposits that continue to flow all the time, and this is the attraction of Sarabadak Cave for visitors. To get to this location, visitors must first descend the footpath that has a sulfur cliff on the right side. The yellowish sulfur cliffs are clearly visible when you walk down the water pipeline to the Ketenger NPP or Natural Power Plant Pond, which has a very beautiful view. Inside the Sarabadak Cave, there is a meeting of hot and cold water flow, which is one of the attractions of tourists who come to the tourist sites. Besides that, in the front of Sarabadak Cave, there is a small waterfall that is fresh and beautiful. The waterfall is usually used as a place to rinse by visitors. If you look straight ahead when going down the stairs at that location, you will see a refreshing view of the green valley in front of you. Although it is quite tiring, the cold and natural scenery can rid off your fatigue. The entrance ticket to this Sarabadak Cave is 7,000 rupiah per person. The best time to visit Sarabadak Cave is when it is still morning and not on holiday, because you will see sulfur cliffs with beautiful colors and look very clean because washed by hot water that continues to flow non-stop throughout the year. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today about Sarabadak Cave in Banyumas, Central Java. I'm Putri Safitri Adala, sampai jumpa.
datang menghampirimu. Jika kau hanya berdiam diri, hanya rasa sesal yang akan kau rasakan nanti.
Tunjukkanlah rasa cintamu, coba buat mereka tahu betapa indahnya dunia bila engkau sedang jatuh cinta.
Listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Voice of Indonesia, today's Miss Eleni will inform you about the interesting program from the Ministry of Communication and Information, which was nominated by the United Nations. At the annual World Summit on the Information Society, or WSIS Prizes event, the Miss Lambe Hulks program was chosen to be included in one of the contested nominations. The program was nominated in Category 17, Action Lines CTAN, Ethical Dimensions of the Information Society, as the flagship work of Indonesia. WSIS is a world meeting forum on information technology empowerment held by the United Nations. Miss Lambe Hoax is a weekly program showing Miss Lambe Hoax as the main figure, reports the results of weekly monitoring from the content complaints team. With the talkative of the main character, Miss Lambe Hoax, this program tells the latest views that are being the subject of discussion by netizens on all social media platforms. In addition to Miss Lambe Hoax, there were 8 Indonesian projects or initiatives that were nominated, namely the 2019 IoT Makers Creation Ministry of Communication and Information, included in Category 1, the role of government and all stakeholders in the promotion of ICTs for development. Later, 5 of the 20 projects per category that received the most votes from various parts of the world was named the second winner. Then, from the 5 projects, 1 was chosen by UN experts as the first champion. The Lambe Hoax program is produced weekly and is broadcasted through its main media channels, namely GPR TV and other social media channels of the Ministry of Communication and Information, such as YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. With the presence of the latest and superior program collaboration results from the 3 work units of the ministry, is expected to provide fresh and beneficial shows for the people of Indonesia, wherever they are. The Lambe Hoax displays information about hoax that was collected for 1 week by the Automatic Identification System or AIS of Ministry of Communication and Information. Then displayed by Miss Lambe Hoax as the host and broadcasts on all social media platforms and a number of TV stations. Well, listener, that was miscellany for today about the Miss Lambe Hoax program of the Ministry of Communication and Information, which was nominated for the WSIS Prizes 2020. We will meet again with other interesting topics. See you next time.
Jangan kau bohongi hatimu. Jelas kau ingin aku. Percuma punya wajah yang merdu bila dia tak mampu melukiskan senyummu. Izinkan ku isi harimu. Mendung kelabu. Percuma punya tampang yang syahdu bila dia tak mampu melukiskan senyummu. Oh, tunggu apa lagi sayang, tinggalkanlah dirinya. Kan ku buat hari-harimu bahagia. Lalu apalagi sayang, ku lebih baik darinya. Tak akan ada lagi tangis air mata. Buat apa kau buang waktu dalam kisah yang semu. Izinkanlah ku cumbu hatimu dan merangkai cinta. Oh, tunggu apa lagi sayang, tinggalkanlah dirinya. Kan ku buat hari-harimu bahagia. Lalu tunggu apa
lagi sayang, ku lebih baik darinya. Tak akan ada lagi tangis air mata. Bukakanlah pintu hatimu dara, izinkanlah ku ketuk asmara. Kan ku ubah sedihmu jadi bahagia. Apa lagi sayang, tinggalkanlah dirinya. Kan ku buat hari-harimu penuh bahagia. Tunggu apa lagi sayang, ku lebih baik darinya. Tak akan ada lagi tangis air mata. Tangis air mata. Hari-harimu bahagia. Tunggu apa lagi, kan ku buat harimu bahagia.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. In today's edition, we will present a keroncong song entitled Di Tepinya Sungai Serayu, which was composed by R. Sutejo. The song tells about the beauty of Serayu Riverside, which passes Wonosobo, Banjarnegara, Purbalingga, and Banyumas Regency in Central Java Province. The river, which flows down at South Sea of Java, has great contribution for farming surrounding regions. The song also describes the clear water of Serayu River and Mount Slamet, which is seen from far. Generally, the song describes the beauty of Indonesian nature, which makes eyes fresh when seeing the panorama. Well, listener, here is Afi Mardianto with the song entitled Di Tepinya Sungai Serayu.
Terima kasih.
Voice of Indonesia.
Mentari sinari wajahku di pagi hari. Berangkat ku pergi, temanku telah menanti. Menuju mata air, melewati bukit dan tinggi, bersenandung bahagia. Hatimu murni sekali, dan dia bersuara, jangan kau henti bermimpi. Melompat lebih tinggi, melewati batas ilusi, bersenandung bahagia.
Indonesia.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Dalla. See you on the next English program.